It's great to have everybody together this morning, including our visitors. I know you wouldn't guess this, but Tim is a math teacher. I think he just oozes math. But thank you for your songs, Tim, and it's good to see you. It seems like every time you guys come, we leave. And such is the case today, and appreciate your prayers as we head back to see family. I know we'll make this probably at the end of service as well, but they are going to move Mom out of physical therapy and see how she does at home. So that is actually happening tomorrow is what we was told. So we'll be glad to get back and see her and see some other family and certainly continue to keep us in your prayers in that regard. And so it's great to have our visitors this morning. I encourage you to follow along. We make comment in class. We don't always talk about the prophets so much. Well, this morning our lesson is about the prophets, about fulfilled prophecy. There are some good lessons in the prophets and prophecies about Jesus. It inspires belief in the Bible. It inspires belief in our Savior. And certainly in that day, it inspired belief in the Savior. As we talked in particular, we were studying Acts 13 today, how Paul used prophecy and the Old Testament prominent men of the Old Testament, some of God's leaders, if you'll call it that, to inspire the Jews and provoke them to remind them of who the Messiah was. And so our lesson this morning is about that. And we're going to focus on Jesus as a younger person, in other words, of his birth and of his youth, and encourage you to follow along. As we look at Jesus, I want to read a passage in Micah 5:2. And once again, this is one of the minor prophets. Sometimes they're hard to navigate as far as which one finding your books here. But in Micah chapter 2, it says there, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Here in our prophet of Micah gives a prophecy, a future prophecy of the ruler of Judah. He's coming from Bethlehem, a specific Bethlehem, the Bethlehem of Judea, not of other areas around, but that particular Bethlehem, a small town. "Out of you will come forth he that is to be ruler in Israel." And so we're going to talk about these things and the importance of these things. And we're even going to talk about physical evidence that even exists today in finding the Dead Sea Scrolls and other scrolls that exist we even have physical evidence, especially of Isaiah. I guess maybe Isaiah, there was a scroll of Isaiah found in the Dead Sea tomb or caves that dates at the latest to 1 B.C., okay, so it predates the arrival of Christ, or at least coincides, at the minimum, coincides with Christ's birth, the book of Isaiah. And there's also one of the 12 prophets, including Micah, the 12 minor prophets. There's a scroll that has been dated to 50 B.C., containing all 12 of the minor prophets. And so for the antagonist of Scripture and the Bible, there is literal physical evidence showing these things that dates to and predates the events in history, events in the Bible. And so let's go look at some of the prophecies of Jesus. Some of these may play a more significant part in our own mind and our own belief today than it did the Jews, but nonetheless, these were prophecies, and these were fulfilled. And the first one I want to look at as we go through these is that he was prophesied to come from the tribe of Judah. If we turn over to Genesis chapter 10, chapter 49, verse 10, the reference there, speaking of Judah, that is given of him in Genesis 49, verse 10. I'm going to read that from my Bible. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." In other words, there'll be a ruler from Judah, a lawgiver from Judah, from the tribe of Judah. From Judah, this in Genesis is where Jacob is speaking to his sons and speaking of their future. And here gives a prophecy of Judah that the scepter will not depart from Judah. And Jesus fulfills that. Jesus fulfills that. In Luke 3, and I'm using Luke here, you'll probably realize that there's two genealogies, or maybe you do, it's something to realize, there are two genealogies given of Jesus in Scripture. Two of the gospel writers give two separate genealogies of Jesus. Matthew's genealogy is that of Joseph. Of course, as we're going to see, and as we think we probably all realize, Joseph was not the blood father of Jesus. But as far, we'll talk about that. But in Luke 3, it is believed that this is certainly Mary's genealogy. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was of the tribe of Judah. And that's what we see here in Luke 3:23, starting. It says there, Jesus, when he began to be about 30 years of age, being as it was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son-in-law of Hillel. And it goes on and gives a genealogy there, and in this case it goes all the way back to Adam, which is a nuance because Matthew actually starts and does a reverse order and does it for Joseph. He starts with Abraham and goes to Joseph. Luke starts with Jesus and goes back all the way back to Abraham. But nonetheless, Jesus, being the son of Mary, the blood son of Mary, is of the tribe of Judah. That was no accident, of course, but that is a fulfilled prophecy. That is a fulfilled prophecy. It was prophesied that Judah was going to have a king or a lawgiver from his lineage for all time. Jesus fulfilled that. A prophecy thousands of years at that point, centuries before. I meant to make this comment earlier. When we talk about the prophecies, even the Jews themselves didn't recognize the fulfillment of some prophecies. Some of them were kind of vague. Some of them didn't make a lot of sense if you just read them, not seeing the fulfillment, not having the Holy Ghost tell you this is what this meant. But every Jew, knowing Jacob and knowing Judah, would have said, oh, I see how Jesus fulfilled that. The Holy Ghost just told us that he fulfilled that. That makes sense. I can see that now. It wasn't always obvious. Some of these other ones are much more obvious to him. But along this line is also David. Well, certainly we can't separate David from the tribe of Judah, his tribe. But he also was prophesied and given prophecies about his lineage. And he basically the same prophecy that was given to Judah is basically the same one given to David. But there is 2 Samuel 7:16, Samuel records for us there, or the writer records for us, "In thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." David's throne was going to be established forever. His throne, his kingdom, his lineage, his family was always going to reign on that throne. Well, we just saw back that Mary was of the tribe of Judah. Mary was also through David. Mary fulfilled that in being the blood relative of Jesus. And so David was promised this. Also in Jeremiah 23, the prophecy of a righteous branch given there. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 and 6. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, I will raise unto David a righteous branch." These prophecies linked together or laced together, if you'd say that. "The days come," Jeremiah 23, verse 5, "the days will come when I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper. He shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith we shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." The Lord our righteousness. And so we see the prophecy again that David is going to have a king reign in the eternity of that kingdom, and about it being about righteousness. And here it gets into some of the terminology that we might think it looks like a physical kingdom. We might want to say that he's saving the kingdom, executing judgment and justice on earth. And there are ways that Jesus fulfills that, but not as a physical king. And so we can see in this particular verse even how some prophecies we might could take the wrong way if we don't look at how the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of God, tells us what this prophecy meant. It's very important that we realize that as we look at some of these prophecies, because we can make things up and go our separate way And but the Holy Spirit has told us what these things are. Jesus is that. He is the fulfillment of that. And we're not going to get into the king part so much because he announced himself as king, or is announced as he's actually king that last week of his life. But here we see that as far as a king's concerned, it was the father's lineage that we always look at to establish a king's lineage. We look at the father's lineage for the king aspect of it. And we see that Joseph also fulfilled that, being the earthly father, not physically, but earthly father of Jesus. He fulfills that. And so in a Jew's mind, not realizing that, because we realize the Jews didn't understand the deity of Jesus until much later in the kingdom, much later in the teaching. When they looked at Joseph and Mary, in the Jews' eyes, they saw a married couple. They saw Joseph as the father of Jesus. There was no question about that in their mind because they understood the physical world. They understood the physical world worked. They didn't understand and realize until much later how Jesus fit in this. So the fulfillment of this to them was he was king. He met that requirement because Joseph was also of the lineage of David. And so he fulfills that as being of that lineage. Like I said, we're going to talk about him being actual king later. That's another prophecy. Technically, it's another prophecy. It fits certainly in with this. But we'll talk about that when we talk about his ministry and the work he did. Another aspect of this, we've already touched on a little bit, but it was prophesied. And once again, we probably all have heard these before, right? But maybe we don't know necessarily where they're at. Isaiah 7, he was going to be born of a virgin. Mary did not know a man. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, the prophecy is given there. In the 14 through 16, Isaiah 7, verse 14 starting, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Well, flag's going off. He's going to give a sign. We need to take note of this, as you would say. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, will call his name Emmanuel. That is God with us. We're going to see that here in a minute too. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you abhor shall be forsaken of both her kings. Before this happens, there will not be a king in the land of Israel, the northern tribe. There will not be a king in the land of Judah. Well, that's exactly what happened. Now, I'm not going to talk so much about the fact that there was kingless, but I think we realize when they were all hauled off to Babylonian captivity, that was the end of the kings. There were not kings reign after Babylonian captivity started. Those kings were taken out, and no longer was there a king sitting on either throne until Jesus came. Well, that's kind of what he's saying in Isaiah 14, Isaiah 7 there. But back to the idea of Mary as a virgin was prophesied. This is the way it's going to be. And we find that recorded for us in Matthew chapter 1. You want to read along with me there, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. So Moses is recording by the Holy Spirit about Jesus' birth. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while they thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary, your wife. That which was conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It's of God. She shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, our prophecy, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel. That is interpreted, God with us. Jesus, a child of God, the Son of God, was born to Mary, a pure woman, one who had not known her husband as yet. She was born of a virgin. Jesus was born of a virgin. Prophesied in the book of Isaiah, of which we have a copy that dates before 1 BC or AD. I get talking about math and zero. Zero is a bad place. But 1 BC or before that, we have a physical copy of the book of Isaiah that says exactly what that says. Well, part of it. They know it's the whole scroll. We can talk about the evidence there. There are a lot of things happen to a scroll over years, and none of them are good, as they said. Another prophecy we just talked about, here we call Emmanuel. Matthew is showing his readers that read his book, this Jesus is the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the anointed one of God. His name is Emmanuel, which is God with us. God was among them. Jesus was God. As he worked and lived on earth, he was God, walking side by side with the apostles. God was with them. God was with Jesus. Jesus was God. And so everybody Jesus was with, God was with them in the literal sense. Now, and so God with us, Emmanuel, the name, one of the names of Jesus that's given to him, fulfilling the prophecy there of Isaiah 7. And showing that in Matthew chapter 1 as Matthew makes that case for Jesus being the Messiah, the Son of God. Also of his birth. Go over to Micah 5:2. The one we read as an introduction to our lesson. His birth, his location of his birth was given. And this was a stone of stumbling. We're going to use that and we'll tie that in later. His birth and where he lived caused the Jews to disbelieve in him. Think about this. Well, this... Think about that later, actually. Let's go to Micah 5:2. Let's look at what the prophet said. One of the 12 minor prophets of which was found, we have a copy, a physical copy that dates to 50 B.C. These words are recorded. They had not been changed by the disciples of Jesus to make it look like Jesus fulfilled them. This is written and recorded and in writing for us that can be seen. But thou Bethlehem Ephrah, though you be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. The king is coming from you. The king is to be born in Bethlehem. Prophesied in the book of Micah. At least, I think it was the 400 years of silence. Before that, 400 years predating Christ, these words were written. And we realize and read, if you will turn into Matthew chapter 2, I don't know if you're following all the Old Testament prophets because sometimes it's hard to flip pages, but we're fixing to read a lot in Matthew 2. And so if you want to turn to that, you certainly be good to follow along there. We're going to stay in it for a little bit here now. Matthew 2, verse 1 through 6. He was born in Bethlehem. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ would be born. Every Jew knew this. Look at verse 5. They said unto him, he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written. The Jews knew where their Messiah was coming from. They knew where their king was coming from. It's coming from Bethlehem. Verse 6, now Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are you not least among the princes of Judah? For out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Prophecy of Micah that is fulfilled here in Matthew chapter. We realize, or Matthew makes the case and says, look, this is the Messiah. Every Jew would appear new. They answered, he's going to come from Bethlehem. They knew where he was coming from. The massacre of children. Let's say we're staying here in Matthew chapter 2. This was prophesied, and Matthew ties again this prophecy into Jesus, into that time, this event into that time. And Jeremiah 35, the prophecy there in verse 15 says, Jeremiah 35, 15. No. Okay. Bear with me. I got something wrong. I don't know what I did wrong. Here's what it says. I think I got the wrong verse up there, though. Thus saith the Lord, a verse was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. That is Matthew 2. I've messed up that scripture reference. And so we see that reference there. It's 31, thank you. I was looking here because 31:15. I don't know how to get 30. I got, anyways, thank you. 31:15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, and I took that from my notes. I copied the verse right, I just copied the wrong chapter number down. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeped for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. This is what's happening, talking in Matthew chapter 2, and verse 18 quotes that for us. Matthew 2, verse 18 says that, it repeats that. In verse 17, this is fulfilled which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. In verse 2:17, this is what happened. There was a massacre of children. Who could have predicted such things? Who would have foresaw such things? God could, couldn't he? So let's read about this in Matthew 2, starting in verse 7. Now we'll continue the reading here. Matthew 2, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, whom you have found, or when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced and was exceedingly joyful. Verse 11, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed in their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord said to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken out of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Remember that one here. And when Herod, when he had saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly angry and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And when this was fulfilled, which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and here's our prophecy, in Ramah there is a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, it would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Well, let me stop there, because we're going to get to that the rest of that reading there. Prophecy of the massacre was given. And even though if you had read Jeremiah, you would have said, what does this mean? What does this apply to? You would have all kinds of questions. But when through the Holy Spirit, Matthew writes about this, the Jews are to know, now is the time. This is the Savior. These events, though they may be hard to apply and recognize in one at a time, but you start adding these together, you see the prophecy showing that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah. So this prophecy about a great slaughter of children, as horrendous as it is shown and was given predating the Jesus' arrival on the scene. We also see he was prophesied he would live in Egypt. I told you we're fixing to come back to that. Here we go. In Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and I called my son out of Egypt. When Israel was a child, I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. That is fulfillment also of prophecy. And we just read already in chapter 2, verse 15. That's 13 through 15. Talk about Jesus going to Egypt, fleeing from Herod, fleeing from that massacre. As we just read that there, they flee to Egypt. In verse 15, it says, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Out of Egypt I have called my son. Hosea said, he called my son out of Egypt. See the wording there. And then 19 and 20, it continues there. We'll go ahead and read those two verses of Matthew chapter 2. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the young child's life. So now they're told to return. And so as we talk about and think about places Jesus lived, he's been in Bethlehem. Jesus has been in Bethlehem. You ever heard anybody call Jesus of Egypt? The Jesus of Egypt? Jesus lived in Egypt as a child. I say that because it's fixing to tie into another point here. So we see from our lesson, we're going to tie this together, that Jesus was and did fulfill prophecy. He was and did fulfill prophecy. He is of the tribe of Judah. He is of the lineage of David. Oops. He is born of a virgin. His name was Emmanuel. His birth was in Bethlehem. He was the master of children. It was during the time of a master of children. That event was prophesied. He lived in Egypt and he fulfills prophecy. But why did men not believe? Why did Jews not? And that's the great question. Why? And there's lots of answers. We see some of those in text. There's a great point to me here. Because when I said, have you heard of Jesus of Egypt? I didn't mean a whole lot to me, but you heard of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth? The reason I say that, there is a great lesson for us in here about learning Scripture, about following righteousness, about investigating and being critical and actually proving Scripture right. Because Jesus was of Nazareth. Where did the Jews, where were they looking for the Savior to come from? Bethlehem. Jesus of Nazareth. That's what they call him. Nathanael said, I'm sorry, let's go. Paul calls him that even. Jesus of Nazareth. Well, Nazareth was where, I'm sorry. First of all, let's establish this. Back to Matthew chapter 2. I told you we're going to stay there for a little bit. In Matthew chapter 2, we find that when Jesus and Joseph and Mary leave Egypt, they go to Nazareth. So after Egypt, they go to Nazareth. So if you'll follow with me here and back to Matthew chapter 2, in verse 22, when they heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside to parts of Galilee. Or Jesus of Galilee, the man of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city of Galilee named Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Galilee. That's what Paul calls him in Acts 22. Acts 22, verse 8, Paul says there, "And I answered, who art you, Lord?" So he's recounting the vision. I'm sorry, Paul didn't call him. Jesus calls himself this. As Paul recounts his vision on the road to Damascus, Jesus says, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute." But wait a minute, he's supposed to come from Bethlehem. But he lived in Nazareth. Where I'm going with this is, the Jews had a very negative opinion, apparently, of Nazareth. But if one would investigate, they would find that Jesus did live in Nazareth, but Jesus was also born in Bethlehem. This stone of stumbling was a stone that the Jews stumbled at, one of the stones that the Jews stumbled at. And so we find in John chapter 1, Nathanael makes what I believe to be a probably consistent or a persistent thought. It expresses a thought that may have been consistent among the Jews. That's what Nathanael says in John 1, verse 46. Nathanael said, Philip goes to Nathanael, says, "We found the Messiah, the one Moses talked about, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph," in verse 45. Notice Nathanael's response here. I'm sorry, yeah, in verse 48. Make sure 46, get the right verse here. "And Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Does any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth had this negative reputation, but Jesus lived there. Jesus wasn't born there, but he was lived there. He was called Jesus of Nazareth. You see what the Jews did? They said, "Oh, he's from Nazareth. He's not the prophet. He's not the Messiah. He can't be. He's from Nazareth." What'd they do? They didn't investigate, did they? Yes, he was from Nazareth, but it was more complicated than that, wasn't it? He lived in Nazareth. The great example for us to make sure we dig and search for the truth. They didn't want the truth. They wasn't looking for the truth. They didn't want to ask, well, Jesus, where was you born? It was Jesus of Nazareth. In John 7, they replied, there's no prophet come out of Galilee. Nazareth being part of Galilee. In John 7, 52, they answered and said unto him, are you also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. Well, Jesus was from Galilee, but where was he born? Bethlehem. That's what they needed to know, but they looked for it. They didn't look for it. I would submit to you, in a lot of cases, they probably didn't want to know Jesus was of Bethlehem. It was just something they could hold against him. He's of Nazareth. Self-proclaimed man of Nazareth. Man of Galilee. Another thing that we learned from our lesson, I think, a good point to realize, is that Jesus is our King. Jesus is our King. Genesis 49, as Jacob spoke to Judah, talked about what would happen with them in their lives to come, a scepter or there would always be a lawgiver out of his lineage. Jesus fulfills that. Though we didn't talk about that in prophecy specifically, we recognize that Jesus is King. He is our authority. He is the lawgiver for us, and he has given us his law. He is a king, and he is reigning today. And he has instructed his apostles and us through their writings, through the Holy Spirit working with the apostles, what it takes to be a part of his kingdom. He is the Messiah. He is the one the Jews were waiting for. We saw in Matthew and Luke, at least the parts we looked at, made the case for Jesus being the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is our King. He is our lawgiver. He is going to reign eternally. And we want to be part of his kingdom, I hope. If you want to be part of his kingdom, he taught, especially like particularly in Matthew recorded, what it takes to be a disciple. Matthew says, as Matthew records Jesus' teaching, Jesus is saying, go ye to all the world, making disciples of all mankind, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you want to be a part of his kingdom? Do you want to reap the benefits of living in his kingdom? The first step is to be baptized. Have your sins washed away. Become a Christian. Put on Christ's name. Put on Christ in baptism. And then continue to live and strive for that to live right before God. And that is our task here once we become Christians. And if you stumbled in that regard, if you made mistakes that you need to make public confession of, we encourage you to make those known, that you can have those sins done away again by going to God in prayer. So if you need our help in any way, if you wish to be baptized, be a member of Jesus' kingdom, or if you wish to have the prayers of the saints, won't you come this morning while we stand and sing our song of encouragement.